Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, reading through verse 34, this is God's word. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. I'll give you the main point right off the bat. Don't worry. God will always take care of those who put him first. God will always take care of those who put him first. Now, Jesus had thousands of people who were following him. They had not only enjoyed things he said, but they really enjoyed the show. The fact that people who were sick got healed. People who had been in the grip of demonic forces were delivered. And he said things that nobody else had ever said, with an authority that nobody else demonstrated. So there's a crowd. But within that crowd, there's a man who thinks Jesus ought to be able to work out his problems with his brother. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Is it reasonable for the brother to divide the inheritance with him? Well, sure. I mean, that's something that's supposed to happen. But this guy had a much bigger problem. He felt like life is good except for the fact that my brother won't give me what's coming to me. And Jesus says, no, you got a bigger problem than that. It's a problem that your brother can't fix. You have a problem with greed. Jesus said, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Why are you bringing me into this problem with your brother? Then he said to them, not just to this man, watch out. Have you ever been warned you're maybe on a path and there's a snake and somebody sees it before you do? And they say, watch out. Or maybe it's something else that someone who sees the danger before you do is warning you. Jesus is warning not just this man, but the crowd. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We could focus the whole message on just that one statement. He says, be on your guard. Not just, you know, you might run into this somewhere. No, this is a problem that attacks all of us. That's why Jesus says elsewhere, you can't serve God and mammon. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He doesn't just say against greed. All kinds of greed. I have never aspired to be filthy rich. I've known some people who were filthy rich, and there are some things about that that I find appealing, but there's a whole lot about that that I really don't desire at all. It's not money that I really want. It's, as I've told you before, the thigh that is larger than the other thigh in the buffet line. When we're going through and there's wings, and some people just love wings, and there's breasts, and that's a smart thing, and then there are the drumsticks, and I think we should leave those for the children. And then there are the thighs. It's dark meat, it's juicy, it's delicious. And one is almost always bigger than the other. I don't know why. But I do know that usually I can spot one of them that looks more appealing to me than the other. And there are always people ahead of me in line. And I'm hoping I'm going to get that one. I'm going to get, oh, somebody ahead of me in line got it. For some reason, they looked at what was in the pan and they thought, I want that one. Well, I'm just incensed internally because I mean, I can't say, don't do that, you know, because that would be undignified. But the fact is, I have a certain sense of entitlement. That's a form of greed. That's a form of greed. And it says here, Jesus told them to be on guard against all kinds of greed, not just money. This morning, I came down here to speak, and someone was in my parking place. Now, it doesn't say Pastor Wood. It's because, you know, I'm not always there. But that's where I park when I come down for chapel. And somebody else had put their car in that spot. I had to park two spaces further down. It's not even raining, but I just felt a little robbed. What's wrong? I have a greed problem. It's a sin problem. I need to be on guard against that. I need to repent of it and realize that that is a toxin that affects all relationships with people and with God.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, be on guard against that, Jesus says. And he told them a parable. He said, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. So let me tell you a story. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Notice, he's already rich, and secondly, he didn't produce a good crop. The ground produced the crop. The dirt produced the crop. But when he saw this fabulous harvest, he said, what am I going to do? I have no place to store my crops. There are other solutions other than the one he proposed, but he thought about it. He thought to himself. So this is not just spur of the moment, first thought that comes to mind. He gave it some thought, and then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Wow, that sounds like a plan. I mean, he's been so successful that he can't even contain it all. He's going to get a bigger container. And he's going to be able to just kick back, not have to work, not do anything for anybody. He just is going to eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Some questions you need to ask yourself in light of this passage and other scriptures as well, but this passage has these things in it. Number one, are you prepared to die? This guy wasn't. That wasn't in his plans. His plan had to do with bigger barns. His plan had to do with party time. His plan was selfish, greedy. Are you ready to die? That's a very important question. Number one, because we're all going to die. And secondly, we don't know when. This guy, if you'd asked him, well, do you think you're ever going to die? Well, of course, we all die. But he wasn't prepared in the least, and he certainly didn't think it was going to be that night, but it was. Because who's in charge of when we die? God is. And God said, you're a fool. You're going to die tonight. And he was not prepared to die. But he also wasn't prepared to live. Because this guy, if you're not prepared to die, you're not going to be prepared to live. You're not going to live well if you haven't addressed the issue of eternity. You're going to spend a lot longer dead physically than you're ever going to live on earth. If you live to be 125 years old, it's going to be a lot longer than that that you're in the grave. We're going to die. Be prepared. When you're prepared to die, then you live with a different kind of focus. You know that you have a limited opportunity. You don't know how much, but you know you have a limited opportunity to do the things that God has given you to do. And so you invest your time and your energies in serving other people if you're being obedient to the Lord. You ready to die? Are you ready to live? Are you ready to give? This is how it'll be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Jesus didn't say it's wrong to be rich. He said if you're rich, you're supposed to be rich toward God, taking the blessings that God has poured into your life and saying, God, what would you have me do with this treasure that you have given me to steward? How should I use this for your glory? And do you know the best place to invest? I've had people asking me, what do you think? I mean, right now, there's a lot of volatility. You know, the stock market's up and down. And, you know, with this tariff thing, I just don't know what's going on. And what should I invest in? I can tell you. Same thing that I would have said a year ago. Same thing I would have said 10 years ago. Same thing I would have said 30 years ago. Because it's what Jesus says. Invest in the kingdom. Invest in heaven. More coming up about that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the way that God takes care of the birds. You're more valuable than they are. Look at the way that he causes the flowers to grow and look absolutely beautiful. Don't worry about how am I going to... I mean, now, gentlemen, please don't try and look like a flower. But realize that God has an artistic eye, and it's okay to want to look nice, but if that's your passion, that's your focus, it's all about you and your looks and trying to have a good appearance for everybody... You're wasting your life. Jesus says, God feeds the birds and you're more valuable than they are. Worry is not going to do anything good for you. And he tells us not to do it. This passage lines up with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You can get the more amplified version there. Because Jesus is telling them, God knows you need these things. Please notice verse 30. Having said, don't set your heart on what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about it. The pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Jesus doesn't say, you don't need food. He says, of course you need food. Your Father will take care of that. He doesn't say, you don't have to have clothes. He says, God knows you need clothes. He'll provide for you. And sometimes the way he provides is what he did for the Israelites in the wilderness, who for 40 years, God said, your sandals never wore out, did they? God will sometimes, instead of giving you new stuff all the time, just bless your stuff so that it lasts. That's a good thing. So, Jesus says, do not worry, verse 22. Why do you worry, verse 26? Do not worry, verse 29. But seek his kingdom. And everything you need will be given to you as well. What are you supposed to be focused on? The kingdom of God. And then he says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He doesn't say, because you've done good work and earned the kingdom. He says, no, your Father is giving this to you. He's brought you into a relationship with him where he is king, and you, his subjects, are part of the family. He's given you the kingdom. His kingdom is forever. So since your Father has done that, you can live in a way that many people would regard as reckless. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. I don't know that that's a smart idea. It is if Jesus tells you. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Notice that phrase, that will not wear out. He can help you make things last. Provide purses for yourselves where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount also talks about investing in the kingdom of heaven because thieves can't get it, moths can't get it. What do thieves come after? Usually paper towels, canned goods, things like that. Is that right? Is that generally what they... No. No, they're looking for luxury, high-ticket items. Don't invest in that stuff. Is it wrong to have a beautiful engagement ring? No, it's not wrong. But be sure that's not what you're seeking after. Don't make that the goal. It's okay to be rich if you're rich toward God. It's okay to have some nice stuff. But if you're piling up nice stuff, you're not investing in the kingdom of God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to know what you really care about, look at your bank record and see where the money's going. Because that'll tell the story. What are you putting your money into? My stomach, mostly. Well, you might want to revise your budget. Jesus said that in heaven, moth and rust cannot destroy. I mentioned thieves break in and steal, okay, because Jesus does. He also does talk about moth, and in the Sermon on the Mount, he says moth and rust. What do moth and rust destroy? Anybody know? I understand that moths like to lay their eggs in wool, and then the little young'uns eat their way out, and so I think wool is a problem. Wool's not a problem. A bunch of wool in storage is a problem. If you're walking along wearing a wool sweater, moths will not fly to you, alight on you, and lay eggs in your sweater. They will not do that. What gets rusted? Not something that's in use all the time. This is stuff that's stored up. That's what you don't want. The Bible also has some verses in Proverbs about the value of having some things stored. Yes, and then bringing them out in order to serve others. So, it's okay to have wealth. It's okay to have some nice stuff. But if that's what you're seeking after, you are not ready to die. You are not ready to live. You're not ready to give. You need to figure out prayerfully, God, what do you want me to do with all these blessings? Show me how to honor you. And you know what? He will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.